Happy Easter. Go ahead and maximize that if you would, sweetheart. Bring it up. Now hit Alt-Enter, see if that'll work. Oh, that's weird. I've never seen it. That middle button won't maximize. Huh? Try dragging it, bottom right hand corner. Alt-Enter doesn't do it. Yeah, okay. There we go. All right, let's try this one more time. We'll get there. Now, how'd you know I could do that? No, actually, I don't know if I could do that or not. Yay! Give Carolyn a big hand. Couldn't make it without her. Happy Easter. This is Easter, and it is April 4th. I read something on the internet that we're talking about praying for 4 minutes and 40 seconds, that this blood moon is the shortest lunar eclipse, and it's only 4 minutes long or something like that. Is that right? And it's on the fourth month, fourth day. Anyway, fours are in there. So it made me think of what is four? Four is Earth. Actually, in biblical numerology, we have four directions, you know. We have the four winds. So in biblical numerology, I don't know if that has any significance prophetically, but there it is. That's not the sermon, just saying that. The sermon is called A New Hope. Now, for many of us have been saved a while, we'd say, why is it a new hope? Many people put their hope in various things, in job, money, relationships, but you can lose job, money, and relationships. Money usually goes out of my hands pretty fast. I don't know about you. And so we need something more stable. We need a new hope. We need to put our hope in something that's firm. When a person makes their decision to put their faith in Jesus Christ, they have a new hope. Amen? Something new has changed in their life. All of a sudden, it's not the same. Also, when I came up with this title, I thought, hey, isn't that the title of the first Star Wars movie, which is actually the fourth one, right? Which wasn't the title when I saw it 17 times in 1979. When my hair was down to here, it was just Star Wars. But when they had more of them, they gave it a title. It's called A New Hope. And so I thought, well, that wasn't where I was going with this, but I got to say something about that, because how could I let something like that pass, right? So I got to thinking about, you know, Star Wars. You know, the original title for Star Wars was The Redemption of Anakin Skywalker, when it was just one book before they made the three movies. And George Lucas, though he won't ever come out and admit it, I think he's probably got some Christian upbringing, wouldn't you? And so there was actually two Skywalkers, though you didn't know it in the first movie. It wasn't until the third one you find out that Darth Vader, right, is actually Luke Skywalker's father, right? So you've got two Skywalkers. You've got the one who is the who made the wrong choice and brought death into the world, and then you've got his son who made the right choice. And in fact, if you remember, when the Emperor is trying to kill him, He decides to just throw down his lightsaber and give his life to save his father. So there is kind of a little bit of the gospel in there, isn't there? And of course, you know, we have two Adams, don't we? We have the first Adam who did the same thing. He made the wrong choice. And then Jesus became our second Adam. Aren't you glad the second Adam came? But our hope is in the resurrection, isn't it? Our hope is in the resurrection this morning. If Jesus was not raised, then we have no hope. So when we talk about hope, we cannot forget that hope is forever tied to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Amen? I'm going to look at a few verses on this. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand. Are you standing by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning? By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of all apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. We can all say that, can't we? And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. You realize everything you do is by the grace of God? Don't you love how Paul, he did all of these great things. He turned the whole world upside down for Christ. And when he talks about what he did, he reminds you, but everything I'm doing by grace anyway. Therefore, you know, when you see therefore, wherefore, you ask, what is therefore? It's a contraction, taking everything you just read and joining it to what I'm about to say. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, people say, I don't believe all that resurrection stuff. Well, wait a minute. If you go to Jerusalem, there's an empty tomb. Well, how do you know that some guy just didn't do that? Well, you know, apparently there's a lot of documentation. Yeah, but I don't know, you know. So you play that game all day. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. For if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. You realize our faith hangs on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day. Otherwise, it's all in vain, isn't it? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, that's what he's saying is that would be a hopeless thought, wouldn't it? That you're dead in your sins, you got no hope. Your grandpa who's died or whoever, they have no hope. They're just died. There's just nothing after death. You just become worm food. No hope. Might as well eat and drink and be merry, right? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead? This is not a question, this is a statement. He is risen. But now, you know, if that was the case, we'd be of all men most miserable. But let me tell you, he is risen. He is risen from the dead. And he became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. By man, as I said earlier, Adam, death came. By the second Adam, by this man, life came, resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because Adam forfeited the birthright of planet Earth, he plummeted mortal man into this hellacious existence of sin, separation from God. But aren't you glad there was a second Adam? Aren't you glad that in the fullness of time, Jesus came and lived a sinless life and died as a propitiation for my sins and rose again on the third day? Come on, church. That's something to get happy about. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. I want to just kind of refocus in on this one part of that last verse. He said, if in life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, if it was not for the resurrection of the dead, I would not be here today. Because I can tell you, the first thing that really brought joy in my life when I got saved was the fact that I don't have to be afraid to die. You know, I mean, everybody is afraid to die. Some people say, well, I'm not afraid to die. Oh, yeah, wait till you're about 2 minutes from death and we'll see if you still have that opinion, right? Because that's one appointment everybody keeps. You ever met anybody that's always late, and they always say that, well, he'll be late for his own funeral. No, he won't. That's one appointment everybody keeps. Eddie, you won't be late for that one. I'm picking on you. You know I love you. But now. Everybody say, but now. But now. Don't you love the buts? But God. But now. You know, I can paint this ugly picture and then I splash in, but now! And all of a sudden, all the colors burst on the canvas of death and depravity and hopelessness. But now there is hope. Jesus is alive. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. But now. But now. I'm glad I met Jesus. I was going along looking for love in all the wrong places. But now. I found Jesus. But now. Christ is risen. But now there is color on the palette of my heart. All of a sudden there is a painting there that says there is a future for Roger Jones. He shall not die, but he shall live. Glory to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we have a new hope. Now that is a new hope, isn't it? That Christ lives. Our new hope is in. Now, you might say, well, Roger, why a new hope? Why not just a single hope? Why do you just say a new hope? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus didn't rise, right? He didn't rise in the past. He is risen. You know, that tense that the angel said to Mary, he is risen, is present tense. He's risen. He was risen. He is risen. He's forever risen. So every day is a new hope in Christ. Amen. Now I want to look at some of the promises concerning the resurrection. Long before the resurrection, God promised there would be a resurrection. Psalm 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, and he shall receive me. Selah, that means stop and think about that for a minute. Think about that for just a minute. When you breathe your last breath and you know that some old fella's going to be throwing your body in a casket and slapping paint on your face and trying to push a smile up for everybody to look at, that you're going to be up in heaven dancing on streets of gold, saying, thank God I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. See, God will redeem your soul from the power of the grave and you shall live. Amen. Think about it. Job 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. Oh, excuse me, John, not Job. This is Jesus' words. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall hear and live. My dad used to say, son, calm down. You're too loud. You wake the dead. Anybody ever say that to you? I've always been known as the one with the big mouth. I was working at Hillcrest one time. They had this little cubicles. My boss tactfully said, Roger, you know, your voice kind of carries. That's the way they say, you got a big mouth. Would you shut up a little bit? But you know what? My big mouth can't compare to the power of the Son of God whose voice is so loud he's going to wake the dead. Amen. He's literally going to wake the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. Those that hear the Son of God and they shall live. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's talking to Martha. Her brother's just died. He said, your brother's going to live again. She goes, I know he's going to live the resurrection. See, people talk about the resurrection as if it's a place or a time. But the resurrection is out of place and it's out of time. Resurrection is not a place, not a time. Resurrection is a man. Jesus is the resurrection. Amen. Once you are connected to Jesus, you are connected to the resurrection. You are sealed for the day of the first fruits of the resurrection coming into you, and you will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Not because you're at a certain location or at a certain place and time, because you're in Christ. He is the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Martha, quit looking for a place and looking for a time and start looking at the resurrection, the man. You're looking at resurrection. You got your eyes on resurrection, Martha. Boy, I could preach that a little bit. Hallelujah. Acts 24:15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that even the people who say, Oh, well, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go with all my friends in hell and play cards or whatever. Yeah, right. You know, there will be a resurrection of the unjust. You will have your day in court. You will stand before the judge. And if you did not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will be pronounced guilty as charged. Other promises concerning the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus. Say, by Jesus. And shall present us with you. Again, it's all Jesus. He's got it all, man. If you're in Christ, you're in the resurrection, you're going to see him again. You're going to rise. Going to rise with a shout. Going to fly. Going to rise with my Lord in the sky. Heaven is near. I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the next verse after that is one that I really love to tack onto this, because it says, comfort one another with these words. You know, when you're depressed, you're discouraged, you lost your dog, you lost your job, you lost your tooth, whatever it is, listen, you're going to rise pretty soon. You're going to shake off the shackles of this fallen world, and you're going to fly through the air at Mach 99, and you're going to see Jesus, who to know is life eternal. Because you put your faith in him, he is the resurrection and the life. He's coming soon. Hold on. It's going to be all right. Examples of the resurrection. The son of the widow of Zarephath, if you remember the story, you know, she comes to him, you know. He had already blessed her. She had a relationship with Elisha, and now her son is dead. But he raised. He laid him on that bed, and he put his hands out, and he laid on top of him like God. Some people say he was giving mouth to mouth resuscitation. No, he wasn't. He was doing how God said it, you know. Sometimes you throw a stick in the river and make an axe head float. It's whatever God says. You don't have to try to figure it out or try to psychoanalyze it. He laid on that boy and bam, breath came back in and raised him from the dead. Of course, there's the dead man that was restored when he touched Elisha's bones. You know, Elisha had so much faith in his bones that when these marauders were coming, they were about to bury this guy, and marauders are coming and say, hey, there comes the marauders, we've got to get out of here. Well, what are we going to do with this dead guy? We haven't buried him yet. I'll throw him in that hole in there. He hit Elisha's bones and bam, came back to life again. So much faith in his bones. I think I've told this story before, but I preached my grandmother's funeral right down here at Reed Culver many years ago. First funeral I ever preached, so I was a little nervous. A little's not the word for it, but anyway, after you preach the funeral, you stand at the head of the casket and greet people as they go by, and I'm standing there, caskets here, and people coming by, and this guy comes by, and he puts his hand on Grandma's hand, and he raises his other hand up to heaven, and pow, falls out right there. Now, I've never had that happen in a funeral before, but it was my first funeral. I've never had it happen since. I didn't know what to do. Faith in the bones. Grandma, he put Grandma's hand, she slayed the spirit. Isn't that funny? That's just so cool. What a woman of God. Faith in bones. Raised him from the dead. Jairus' daughter, you know, he goes to get Jesus, you know, my daughter's deathly ill. So Jesus is on his way, and of course Jesus can't kind of go from point A to point B without having to heal some woman with the issue of blood on the way, and finally they say, well, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your little girl's dead. He says she's not dead, she's sleeping. Did you hear what he said? Man's nuts. Aren't you glad we're in a good crowd of nuts here this morning? If Jesus is nuts, I'm a bigger nut. We're following him. So he gets there. And all the mourners are there. Oh, get these people out of here. And he goes over to Jairus' daughter and he says, little child, arise. He sits up and he presents her back to Jairus. He is the resurrection and the life. And of course, who could forget Lazarus? Now, Jesus waited 5 days before he went there. And, you know, he had gotten the word that Lazarus was sick. And he waited more than 3 days because the Jews didn't believe that anybody could be raised from the dead beyond 3 days. Don't ever put God to limitations. Don't ever put God to limitations. But you don't understand what happened. There's no hope. If your faith is in Jesus, there's always hope. A new hope. Finally, he said, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, oh, well, good. You know, and he goes, I got to go wake him. Well, why you wake him if he's asleep? Let the man rest. So Jesus finally told him plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. They didn't know what he meant. They needed to see that this Jesus they've been hanging around with was more than just a water-walking, blind-eye-opening miracle, man. He was the resurrection and the life. And I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake, because I would have just healed him, and you'd have just said, he healed another one. That's Jesus. But he gets there, and they say, you know, get a bed here. My brother would still be alive. We already talked about that. So he goes to the tomb, and he says, roll away the stone. Now, if Jesus has the power to raise the dead, couldn't he speak to that stone and disintegrate that thing? Sure he could. Aren't you glad that God lets us participate in what he's doing? I'm glad God lets us participate in what he's doing. You know, if he just did it all, it wouldn't be any fun. He lets the kids play along. Go ahead, you can move the stone. I'll let you do that. You man, I wonder what the name of the guy was that got to rule the stone. We get to heaven and say, hi, who's you? I'm Fred. What'd you do? I moved the stone. Kind of like the red shirts in Star Trek. Nobody knew their name, but you knew they had a role in the show. I'm sorry, I left character for a minute there. All right, so they rolled it. Lord, by now he's stinking. Years ago, I was praying for a girl that had been sexually abused, and the Lord reminded me of this story and reminded me how not only does Jesus raise from the dead, but he heals the scars. And you know, Lazarus was rotting is what they meant. His skin was rotting. But not only did Jesus raise him, he healed the scars. Amen. I imagine his skin was more fair than it ever was when he walked out of that tomb. Lazarus! Come forth. Now, if you didn't say Lazarus, everybody that had ever been dead would have come out. Oh, it's not time for that yet. I just got to say Lazarus. Don't, you know, God the Father. Now, Jesus, don't forget to say Lazarus, or we're all, you know, we mess up the whole plan here. All these dead people walking around. Lazarus, come forth. And he which was dead was alive. You know, a lot of why they crucified Jesus wasn't just because Jesus ticked them off. It's because of Lazarus. I mean, here's a walking dead man reminding you every day that Jesus has got this kind of power. It went all over the Jews. And, of course, we read it this morning. The saints at the crucifixion came out of the ground showing themselves. And then there was this gal named Dorcas in the book of Acts. They laid hands on her. Raised her from the dead. Now, the resurrection of Christ was also foretold in Psalm 16:10. You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. It was a prophecy about Jesus being in the tomb. The Holy One is Jesus. You won't let him see corruption. He's going to live, come out of that grave. Amen. Matthew 16:21, from that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. They didn't listen. They didn't get it. But he told them plainly exactly what was going to happen. In Matthew 26:32, but after I am risen, this is Jesus speaking, I will go before you in Galilee. He's telling this beforehand. after I'm risen, I'm going to go before you in Galilee. What were they thinking? What does he mean by that, after he's risen? Mark 9:9, as they came down from the mountain of transfiguration, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. Well, what did they see? They saw Jesus glorified and Moses and Elijah up there. Don't tell me the dead don't live. There's Moses and Elijah. Incidentally, some people think that was on the Feast of Tabernacles because Peter said, let's build a tent. For those that were in Sunday school, there's another tabernacle story for you. John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They thought he was talking about the big ornate temple. He was talking about his body. And then Acts 26:22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying, none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come true, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and that he would show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, here's where Steve helped me out with the ending. What's the biggest giant you will ever face in your life? Death. The biggest giant you will ever face in your life is death. It will eclipse anything that you ever go through. When you're on that deathbed with the death rattle in your throat, there is no thought of, I wonder what's going to be on TV next week. You don't think about that. You don't think about anything. You are facing a giant, an immovable wall called death. And everyone has to face that giant. So why was David so confident when he faced his giant? Why was he so confident? He said, your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. He knew that he was in a covenant relationship because of circumcision. And the giant was not. Amen? The giant was an uncircumcised Philistine. He was a circumcised Jew. Two different states, two different statuses, two different contracts or covenants. Amen? Now, when we look at the covenant of circumcision, Genesis 17:10 said, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you, every man-child among you shall be circumcised. How do you know that the Jews were God's chosen people? They had a covenant of circumcision, and that gave them circumcision covenant relationship with God that they could call to God and he would answer. Amen? But we're not Jews. We're grafted in the tree. We're believers. We're New Testament Christians. We're saints. And so we have a different covenant. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, say it with me, from death unto life. Amen. And because we are in this same covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, then we can face the giant called death as bravely as David faced Goliath. We can look at that giant called death, who is not a covenant, who is not in a covenant relationship, and we can look at ourselves like David looked at himself, who are in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can stare down death and say, you have a lot of nerve trying to show with me. You may scare others, but I know, because I am in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, that I'm going to pass from death unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. From death unto life. Aren't you glad the tomb is empty this morning? Amen. I said, aren't you glad the tomb is empty? I'm glad the tomb is empty. I'm going to try to do a song in closing. This is one that I've been wanting to do for a while. And so Let's hope I can do it without messing up. I've been told. Let me just start over here. Hang on, I think we got started. Right. I've been told that there are those who will learn how to fly. And I've been told that there are those who will never die. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? 'Cause I've got a mansion built who ain't through with me yet. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? 'Cause I've got a mansion built who ain't through with me yet. Why should I worry? Sing it with me. Why should I fret? I've got a mansion building who ain't through with me yet. I've been told there's a crystal lake in the sky, and every tear from every eye are saved when I cry. And I've been told there'll come a time when the sun will cease to shine, and that there's a morning star that knows my mind. So why should I worry? Why should I fret? For I've got a mansion building who ain't through with me yet. Let's all stand and sing it with me. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? I've got a mansion building who ain't through with me yet. With me, yeah. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that you are our mansion builder and that we are going to be moving into our new home very soon. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that we shall live also. Listen, if the resurrection happens later on this afternoon, I want to meet you guys on Cloud 27, okay? Hallelujah. We'll have a great time. Thank you for coming. I don't know which one Cloud 27 is. Like Car 54, where are you or something? I don't know. We'll find it. We'll smell it there. Karen said, we'll smell it. Give someone a big hug before you go. We love you guys.